To knit together. The word knit in the Greek, as we're going to be using it today, is sambedazo. And it's important that you know the Greek word because it comes from the word force. Okay? Nobody's going to force you to do anything. But love in your heart forces you to do what's right. That being basically the premise. Now, what knits a group together? So many groups have a lot of trouble. They do, staying together. For one simple reason, they fail to follow the Word of God. There's only one head in the many-membered body of Christ, and that head is Christ Himself. Anytime you start following a man or some tradition or anything other than Christ, who is the Word of God, your group's going to split. Because men have many ideas and many ways. But Christ Himself is, you might say that the word also means oneness. Because you're either with Him or you're not. And that's it. That's the sum of the matter. And so therefore, there would not be unity with that person, necessarily. But the strength and the love being the strongest force in the world, love forces one to do, it's our conscience. It causes us to want to do what's right when you really have Him in your heart. It causes you to really want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, His teaching, His word, His way. And in making the study of His Word, which sometimes it's deep, but true wisdom is to simplify that is deep and present it with understanding. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And anytime there is not peace, well, there is something ungodly about it somewhere. Okay, and discernment is a strong character of a Christian. Is to be able to discern that is good and that is bad. I'm glad you all remembered to set your clocks last night. Okay. Just before we get started, open your Bibles, if you would, to the great book of Colossians in the New Testament. Chapter 2. Never forget, if you're a Christian group, have Christ at the head, period. That's it. No more need be said, and nothing else needs to be said about it. What is Christ? The living Word. What Word? This Word. And Colossians chapter 2 and verse 1 reads, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you." What he's saying is, I'm kind of worried for you. I'm really concerned. "And for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." I am concerned. Now, of course, God gave Paul a commission. And that commission was to teach on three levels. He was to teach to Israel, he was to teach to the rulers and kings, and he was to teach to the Gentile. And therefore, in his message, many times you will find three levels, some people would rather call it, and they cover it again and they say, "I see another level that I didn't see before." That's fine, nothing wrong with that. So Paul, of course, then he says, "I am concerned." That's a true shepherd. But he had not been able to teach them, he had not been able to convey the word. As many churches as he started throughout the world at that time, he was concerned. We'll find out what he's concerned about, and then maybe we'll begin to understand a little better. Verse 2, "that their hearts might be comforted, being knit," there's our word, "being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding," to what? "To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." You cannot understand the mystery of God without loving the Word, which takes you back before the foundations of the world and God's overall plan of salvation, in that inasmuch as Satan deceived a third of the children in the first earth age, he brought forth this earth age where salvation is available to whomsoever will. No mystery to it, really. It's understanding the love of our Father. Again, the etymology of this word, knit, is really force. Again, no outside force, but from within you, the love, knitting you together into the family of Christ by doing what? Following the Word of God, not man, not anyone else, not traditions. Many times those traditions make void this word, as you well know. Verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, within the mystery of God, when really there is no mystery to it. What did Jesus say in Mark 13? He said, behold, I have foretold you all things. So there's no great mystery or secrets to those that seek and pray and have the Holy Spirit in them and work at it, you know. Well, a lot of people say, well, I want to be spoon-fed. Now, you've got to do a little bit of the work yourself. You've got to work at it. But again, what is the force that knits? Love. You know, love brings an understanding and a loyalty that no other force can. It's there. Verse 4. In this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. This means make it sound good. Well, we got a religion over here you can't beat. You know? All you got to do is say you're saved and you got it made. You never have to crack the Bible. Well, saved by who? You know, there are two Christs. Which one? God doesn't like sluggards. Do you know what a sluggard is? That's a lazy person. Do you know what God likened them to? In the book of Proverbs, God likens a lazy person as hinges on a door, only with the lazy person, it's hinges to his mattress. Okay, which I like that. God has a sense of humor. All he can do is flop from one side to the other, and that's all you can expect. He even says in the third chapter of 2 Thessalonians, if a man won't work, don't feed him. That means if he's healthy, of course. Don't feed him. Because he'll find a way to get to work pretty soon. Okay, tough love? Maybe so. Don't let man deceive you. Stick with God's Word. And I suppose here I would have to say, this is why Paul's worried. He's not worried about the devil necessarily, or equally he's as worried about what man's going to say to beguile. People get some strange ideas, really strange. I could even say weird. If it won't bounce off of God's Word to document that it's from God's Word, you better cast it out. I don't care who said it. I don't care if it's preacher, your best friend, or who. If it won't fly with God's Word, it's not true. And I'm talking about edification with the Word or orders from God. All right? Verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit. That's the binding, knitting body. Joining and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. You know, the Holy Spirit binds everywhere. You know, perhaps I shouldn't say this, but now that the thought strikes me, I have to consider it from the Holy Spirit. But through ether waves, I can feel people. By that I mean, I've taught so many years on television that I can actually feel the spirit of people that are drawing from, not me, but from the Word of God. And if I stay away from it very long, I miss it. I miss them. So the Holy Spirit does knit together. It does not take presence of the flesh to be assembled together in the name of the Lord. Right? As long as the Spirit is conveying what? The Word of God. Anytime someone digresses away from the Word of God, use caution. Verse 6, and ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, in your daily life. Listen to him. You know something? Christ made a lot of promises through both the prophets and the New Testament. And those promises will make you successful. They will bless you. They'll heal you, bring you to healing. They'll make you a blessing to those you come in contact with. I'm talking about the promises of God. Well, how do I learn those? You read them, and then you do a great big step. God rarely ever, I could almost say never, makes a promise that there isn't a condition that you have to meet. It's called IF, if. I will do this if you do thus and thus. And if, and some people say, God never answered my prayer. Well, you never pay attention to the ifs, okay? God's not a fool, certainly. And if you follow man or think you are some kind of a person that can be smarter than God, you got trouble, friend. Coming out the gate, you got to do it God's way. That's why he sent you the letter, the word. Verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Taught from what? God's word, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, not some revolving one verse Charlie. It's important what God has to say, not man. Man at his best, without Christ, is a failure. He's like the headless horseman. You leave Christ off his head, and you're blind. You can't see. You've got to do it his way. That's what connects the love and knits the family together, whereby you have oneness in the body. Well, does that mean everybody's going to get along just perfectly? No, Eric. God sends us all that 10%, okay? You know, and you ought to have one. Well, but he's a fruitcake. Every outfit needs a fruitcake, okay? It keeps you in line. It gives you, it teaches you, well, I have to work with one of them. Well, then God really loves you, okay? He's expecting great things from you, okay? So you have to learn how to deal with those sort of things, because God doesn't like hothouse lilies either. Somebody that can't take a little, can't handle a little something, you know. Well, it's just, I'll never forget, we were on a documentary, and I don't know what this has to do with this, but I feel led, I'm going to do it. All right, is that okay with y'all? We were doing a documentary on the Rio Grande River in New Mexico, and we whipped back by the hotel that we always stay at, which, why? Because I have a VIP rating there, okay? Because we rent enough rooms that they give us free ones occasionally. Anyway, so meaning I trust them. So I just whipped out the cards and got the rooms, and we jumped back in the van, and off we went to the mountains to do some shooting because we had a lot of daylight left. And we came back and we viewed it all, and we're putting it all together, and we drove down to Anthony, Texas to the Cattleman Steakhouse and had a big ribeye. And when we got back, it was from the desert and then going down to Anthony, it was 10 o'clock, and I went up to my room. I opened the door. There's a pillow and a box springs and a mattress. There's no sheets. I mean, the room is stripped. It's 10 o'clock at night. I'm ready to shower and hit the sack. So I go down, but I'm always real sweet and try to be understanding on that to a point, okay? So I went up to the little lady and I said, could you send the housekeeper back up to my room? They forgot to make it up. And I said, there's no pillowcases, there's no sheets, there's just nothing in there. And this old truck driver was checking in. He says, picky, picky, picky. Total stranger. Well, I'm putting out my correction that the room needs, and he says, picky, picky, picky. You know? I got a big kick out of that. But sometimes I think we take ourselves a little serious. Why did that story come to my mind? I have no idea. Okay. I suppose we could say that I don't want to blame that on the spirit. But anyway, sometimes we take ourselves too serious, and we can complain too much rather than fix it. You know, fix it. You know, if it's trouble, what do? You know, it said you might get a new growth, a new vine in there. Nip it in the bud. You know, they're real easy to do away with when they first start giving trouble. Okay, just nip it and get rid of it. Right? And then bring in your oneness. So, yes, love forces you to have oneness in the Word once you have been, once you have stepped into it and Christ is in you. And you, they're not going to see you sweat on your first cruise, okay? You're going to be a good person, a child of God that can handle it, can-do type person. Okay, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments. This means elements, and rudiments as well means, the Greek word is phoncheon, and it means bad stuff. Okay, that's why it says all the rudiments and elements are going to be burned up. It didn't say the earth was going to be burned up. It said the bad stuff is. That's why you want to be good, because that includes people, in a sense, all right, ultimately. Rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Stay after Christ and in the way of Christ. There's certainly none of us perfect, at least I think I know y'all pretty well. And I don't know any perfect person. I know some good people, but I know we all fall short at times. And thank God for forgiveness, you know. Never forget to communicate. Most hard feelings and most severe trouble is because of lack of communication. All right? Communicate. Stay in Christ. Verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Did you hear what that said? Well, what's the Godhead? What's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? In him dwells the full Godhead. That should tell, that tells a wise person something, okay, and it's a different subject for a different time. That, and why Jesus could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Father is not going, Almighty God, Yahweh, is not going to ask you to do something he won't do himself. Well, I thought God just stood up there on the throne. No, what did he say in the beginning, Genesis? Let us make man in our image. I mean, I'm going to make one of them to look just like me, and I'm going to be there. Verse 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. That means supernatural, natural, and or otherwise. This is where people make their big mistake. They want oneness and they want love. They want to be a part of the many-membered body, but they don't recognize who the head is. The head is Christ. Show me a group that Christ is not the head of, and I'll show you a group that won't be together long, or a group that will have much trouble. What does the head do for the body? It does the thinking, the planning, the management, and he has the other parts of the body follow suit of what the mind says, the hands do the work of God that the head says you should do, or the feet if it's transportation, or vice versa, whatever. It takes the whole body. But he is always the head. Then what does that mean, just really broken down? Well, he has a plan. Do you think he needs you to correct his plan? I don't think so. I think he's pretty well got it all put together. I'll guarantee you this, he relates in both the Old and the New Testament exactly how it's going down. Have you read it? There's not a thing happening in this world today that isn't written or allowed for in the Word of God, either in the Old or New Testament. It's happening. Again, he's the head, and that's the way it's going down. And love causes one to fulfill whatever so-called position they might be called to. Who knows what it is? I don't, you do, okay? Or if you don't, you will find out. We know primarily from Mark 13 what the overall duties are of God's elect. That's the witness against the spurious Messiah. Verse 18, let no man beguile you. Again, this is what he was worried about. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, entreating into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Man sure can get on ego trips, you know it? You gotta watch yourself. You can really think you're something special. Really analyze yourself. Are you? What makes a person special? I can tell you when you're under the head, okay? Then you're special because you're part of the body, right? When you're in Christ. Verse 19, and we'll conclude. And not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit. That means forced by love, knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. I don't know, how has God increased you? It's kind of, you know, that's the way you can go by it. How much peace of mind do you have? How much knowledge of the mystery of God do you possess? Well, how do I know if I really do? You're blessed. You're prosperous. You help people. You change lives of people that are around you, your family. And again, that's not to mean there's no wilting of the tulip occasionally, all right? That's just good, healthy growing up, all right? Do you know what I'm talking about when I say that? You know, there's problems, handle it. But then get back into the love and the blessings, because your love for Him, for your Father, Yahweh, Almighty God, will drive you into doing what's right. You know, a lot of people might move their neighbor's boundary stake just a little bit. You're not going to find somebody that loves God doing that. Do you know what I mean by that? I mean cheating, you know. Steal some of his land. You don't want anything that's stolen. You don't want anything that's stolen at all. You want to earn it with God's blessings. That's what's valuable. Ill-gotten gains will never gain you anything. Because, why? Well, God will see to it, okay? No more need be said. The head, be under that head, or you will never have oneness in your body. Never listen to this man or any other man without checking them out in the Word of God, both old and new. Document. Find, you know, and how the proof's always in the pudding. God will always bless you when you're right, and it makes you a stronger person. Now, some people seem to like to bat their head against a brick wall, and hey, if they don't have any more sense than that, that's fine. But whenever things are not going right, get in the Word. Use common sense. Don't make some big thing out of it. Use common sense. And figure it out. Understand it. Take what's happening that is wrong and fix it. Fix it. Fix it. Back up. I'd like to lost my notes. Boy, I'd be gone and in. Back up to the book of Ephesians, please. Book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Same subject. And verse 1 reads, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Well, God gives everybody a gift, okay? And you know something? A believer never questions another person's gift. Another person's gift may be to explore in distant lands, to see what's happening, to grow. Another person's gift may be here. Another person's gift may be sharing little truths with people you work with and whatever. It's still a gift, and it's part of the body. And as it is written in Romans chapter 11, God's gifts are given without repentance. He's never going to take it away from you. Man will try. You have these preachers that, if you know they have a gift and they do what normal man's going to do sometimes, they mess up. God's not going to take their gift away from them. Again, man might, if he allows it. There's nobody perfect, okay? Don't follow man. But God will not pull that gift away from you. Some of you might say, oh, I've done so bad. I know God doesn't even want to see my face. No, he loves you. And you have a gift. What that gift is, that's for you to find out. Only God knows. A word of caution. Whatever gift God might give you, it's still his, all right? And that gift, it's called, what is it? Charisma in the Greek. Charisma. Whatever charisma he gives you, don't you take credit for it necessarily. You got what I mean, okay? You start taking credit for it, and the old rug is going to get jerked right off under you. Yeah, I'll be the man that, you know, I saved 1,000 people. I did. Well, I really think the head did. I mean, you know, I don't know that it's written anywhere that man can save anything, maybe himself occasionally. Man can't do anything without the head. Christ. But you want to be careful of gifts. The stronger gift God gives you, the easier it can put you on an ego trip. Be cautious. Be careful. Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness and with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Love is so powerful. It is. Endeavoring to keep the unity. That means oneness. Okay? United. Unity. Of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It just glues you together, okay? To glue together, bond together, to hold you together. Now, let me ask you a question. What bonds you together and holds you together? Love does. Love for what? Love for God. Love for the Word. But whose teaching is it that causes you to first learn that? The head, of course. I don't care whether you call the head Yahweh or Yeshua. Okay? But if you were to denounce Emmanuel, in my opinion, you would not be in good standing necessarily. Verse 4. Why? Listen. There is one body and one spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One body, one. We've just got one head. That's our thinking for us. Our Father, the Son. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, man branches things off into whatever. If somebody comes up to you and says, well, I was baptized over here at so-and-so. Do I need to be baptized to get in your church? Not my church. You can't even join this church by talking to me. You got to talk to him because he's the head. And you know what? If he accepts you, you're all right with me because I'm sure not going to argue with him, all right? And if he left it up to me, I might call some good ones, okay? Okay, but with him, he knows your heart and your mind. He is the head. And your letter, your church letter, is in heaven, not here. It's there with him. It's called the Book of Life. Okay. There's only one, and every, you know, baptism, I'll just say a word as I pass here. Baptism is between the individual and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are some churches won't let you in unless you're baptized in their tank, okay? Just get that set in your mind. And that's all right. That's what they want. Hey, if you want to join that church, you got to get in that tank. It's all right. We'd rather take ours down to Spavinoff, okay? And pray for the poor souls that were baptized 2 weeks ago. They're fine. They're fine. We baptized, you know, I used to all winter and I quit. But Dennis and Doug and others, they'll still go down there and knock the ice back, you know, and then some of them I know wonder why Jesus walks on the water. But anyway, there's only one baptism, and that's between the person and Christ. And a denomination or some church has nothing to do with it. It's between that entity and the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you, when you were baptized to Jesus Christ, don't let some church take credit for it. It was your decision. Okay? Verse 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and don't ever forget it, and through all, and in you all. Say, Paul come from Southern. Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That charisma, okay? It's given in that way. Why? By Christ. He knows what you can handle and not get carried away. Okay? Basically. 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He's quoting Psalm 68:18 here, okay? Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? What did he do there? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. He opened salvation all the way back to the time of Noah. 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up from far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. That's what he fulfilled the Old Testament. Okay? The Old Testament told of his coming, what he would do while he was here, what would be accomplished, okay? 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Pastors and teachers is basically the same office. Where does the word pastors come from? It's country boys, okay? It means they handle the pasture that the sheep graze from, okay? And the first thing an old country preacher learns is if you put the feed out there, they'll come to eat it. You don't have to worry about that. They'll always be there, but you got to feed them. Feed them what? From the head, the Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. I guarantee. You know, a lot of people, you know, people get upset at me when I say I'm not hard up for students. I'm not, you know. In the first place, they're not mine, they're God's. But I got more than I can take care of. God can handle them, okay? Why? I feed them. And you know, an old country boy on some cold morning when you take a bucket of cow cake or something, I don't know how many of you even know what cow cake is, or pellets out, and you've got a bunch of Black Angus or something out there, and you're just kind of feeding them the toll of men, they'll run over you. They will flat knock you down and run over you to get not you, but what's in the bucket. Okay? They will run over you to find out what's in the Word if you'll teach it, if you'll feed them. That's where the word pastor comes from. It seems like the one verse revolving revs kind of forget that. And I'm not knocking them. Hey, if that's what they want to do, let them suffer. Okay? Verse 12. And does that mean you hate them? No. No. I feel sorry for them. They have to dream up all kinds of gimmicks to get people to come to church. I knew an old boy one time that he put a $5 bill under one seat somewhere. You know, so that when people came, they can... First thing they do, reach under there to see if they were lucky and got the $5 bill. Isn't that awful? And you know, like, they got churches now that put ATMs in the lobby. That's the truth. Yeah, I won't allow a collection to be made in this sanctuary. Never have and never will. Okay? But people do all strange things and call it church. It's amazing. Really amazing. Anyway, what verse am I at? Somebody tell me. I'm lost as a 12. Lost as a guinea in the rain. Okay? How many of you know what a guinea is? Okay? Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's for everybody. I don't care what the gift is. There's nothing partial about it. It's given for the whole body, okay? Till we all come in the unity of the faith. There's that word unity again. Oneness. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Right, translate the word perfect, mature, okay? I doubt very seriously that you ever make perfect, all right? That the word means mature, and mature in the word's what you need to be. Like Paul would better say at one time, when I was a child, I spake as a child, but now that I'm mature, I speak unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When the body is filled with Christ, with that love of his advice and his direction, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Always trying to come up with new things. God was the same yesterday, he is today, and he's going to be forever. There is, what is there new under the sun? Ecclesiastes chapter 1. There's nothing new under the sun. You get these people that will say, we're going to start a hee-haw church. If you've ever watched hee-haw on television, that'll help you out a bunch. You'll be already one leg up on the ministry here if you watch the hee-haw church. I don't want to discredit the program Hee Haw. I never watched it too much. I didn't have time, but that's not true. Okay, I'm storying to you. I'm just saying I'm amazed at what people do in the name of so-called religion or superstition. It's so much easier to stick by the head, that is to say, Christ, as he teaches us. And you're always successful when you teach his word. Why would anyone want to teach something else? I don't know. But every wind of doctrine, they seem like they're sniffing here and there. You know? Like, you got these people that will go around spitting on people or blowing on them or hitting them for healing. That's not what the Bible says. You know? If you got a preacher that doesn't carry around a vial of oil that we're instructed, God's not going to use him in connection with healing. He's not going to heal anybody. But God might. But you're going to do it God's way. I've yet to see one of these so-called healers anoint anyone. Well, what has that got to do with the Church of Christ? Ignorant, what do you think Christ means? It means the anointed one, from the etymology of the word, to rub his anointing with oil. Well, what does the oil do? Nothing. But it's obedience to God, and he'll do and do the healing. I'd like to get rid of one of those bunch after they get all the, what do you call somebody that feigns sickness? I mean, they're what do you call them? Hypochondriac, yeah. I'd like to get a hold of a bunch like that sometimes after all the hypochondriacs are cleared out and show them some real healing from Almighty God, you know. Now, does that mean I'm knocking them? No, it's not. It's not my. That isn't the gift God has given me. I know where to go to get healing, and we have people that drive from all over the country here for healing or the casting out of demons. And I'm going to tell you what. I've been up against some regular bear cats. I have. Kind of makes your heart go pitter-patter and skip a beat when some of those old boys things growl at you. Whew. Anyway, do it God's way and you'll never fail, okay? It's fantastic. Probably I've lost my place again, but be that as it may, I'll catch you up. Okay. 15, but speaking the truth in love. In what? In love. Where's what love? Love of Christ. Now, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. That means packed in by that which every joint supplieth. Hey, don't leave any part out. Don't leave any gift out. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And that love is what knits that body together. That love of Christ, who is the head, our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, His Word, and His promises. Okay, we're gonna stop right there, and we're going to go back up a little more to 1 Corinthians. And as we're turning there, I suppose I could say, does God need you? Can you tell God how to operate? Well, I'd be very careful about that if I were you. But does God need you? He wants you, and He can use you. But it's strictly up to you, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. You want to make sure you don't leave that out, because there's a condition there. Did you hear what he promised? You can't even imagine the things I've got waiting for you, he says. What's the condition for them that what? That love him, revere him. Unfortunately, many times it's translated fear him, but the same word in the Hebrew carries revered him. 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, the Holy Ruach. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You ever get confused about something? Meditate. Meditate on it. Think about it. Search in the Scripture. If you don't turn up, if it doesn't turn up, guess what? Bam! God's going to give it to you. Right? And He'll show you where it's documented in His Word. In other words, He will help your mind to grow when you exercise it like you would your arm. Okay? For what man knoweth the things of a man? What man can read another man's mind? Now, women can do that. Okay? I think, I'm not sure, but a man can no more read another man's mind, but God can. But God can save the spirit of man which is in him. I mean, a man knows what he's thinking. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. God's a heart knower. God knows what you're thinking, okay? But man doesn't. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, do you know something? Did you catch that freely given? Do you know God owns everything and He wants you to have plenty? But you've got to do it His way, okay? He's the head. Let me ask you something. You have a head on your body, right up here, okay? And all of a sudden, we're going to give you an itch somewhere. Okay, all of a sudden, your knee says, I'm dying, I need you to scratch me. Okay. So, does your knee tell you to reach down and, ooh, that feels good, and scratch that thing? No, your head does. Okay. So, Christ is the one that guides you and directs you and takes, he knows what you have need of. If you've got an itch, he knows how to scratch it for you, okay? He knows what you have need of, and he will supply it. Some may think that sounds almost sacrilegious. It is, and it gets the point across, and that's what I'm in the business of communicating, okay? The head knows what you have need of, and he says, I want to give it to you freely. I want you to have a lot. And I guarantee you, I know from experience, in a little church in northwest Arkansas that had an old run-down roller rink. That is it. I mean, couldn't even afford the money to put air conditioners in there. And then poor people would fan. And I went into my... I still didn't take up a collection. I want you to know that. Maybe that's why there wasn't anything there to pay for the thing. I don't know. But I knew God would provide, so he's always blessed me with plenty of money, so I just broke down for two big old Montgomery Ward air conditioners down here and put them in there, and I cooled them folks down, okay? And so anyway, then to go from there with never any plans of television from Gravette, Arkansas, you got to be kidding, okay? I mean, really. But God seemed to have had an old boy that was over a network in Florida see some tapes we made for shut-ins on teaching, and he said, I want to have a teaching ministry network. Will you go on television for us? I said, you've got to be kidding. We don't have any equipment. We just got little old home stuff. He said, well, we can fix that. Yeah. So come to find out, my chief engineer, who is still with me, was already trained by NASA and God only and his wife and about everything, you know. And I mean, already here, locked in, ready to go. God knew. We didn't. And he always furnished the bricks and, hey, we can put it to him. All right? You know, God will always furnish the bricks if you'll do it his way. And now today we're on 325 television stations. We're on all the satellites and even on our own transponder up on G6, 24 hours a day, 7. I mean, think about that. When a lot of people say, freely give. Boy, does he freely give. But you got to be willing to meet your part of it, okay? Some could say, well, are you bragging? No, I'm not bragging, beloved. We didn't do it. A little church of 120 people didn't do it. God did. Got it? God did. Nothing for us to brag about. But we're happy about it, okay? He sure has given us quite a platform. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. What does man know, really, okay? Can man don't even know hardly what he's thinking himself, and he sure can't tell what somebody else is thinking. And until he reads tomorrow's newspaper, his chances likely of knowing what's going to happen are pretty slim. But your Father knows, okay? You got it? But which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You kind of, to get the thoughts, you got to add facts. Spiritual things with spiritual facts. Don't ever be a believer that doesn't stick to facts. Okay, or you'll be out there in boom boom land somewhere deceiving yourself. Spiritual things with spiritual facts. Comparing, interpreting, discerning. 14, but the natural man, now that means just a good old mortal boy, man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. They think it's funny. Neither can he now know them, because they are spiritually discerned. His eyes are closed. Can't see it. You could talk till you were blue in the face. And you would never convince them if they do not have eyes to see. 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Kind of translate that word, judgeth, discerneth, okay? He discerns all things. You can tell by testing the spirit. Yet he himself is judged of no man or discerned of no man. 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? Think about this. Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. If he's your head, okay, you have the word, he is the living word. But what is he quoting here? He's quoting Isaiah chapter 40. Okay, turn, in closing, I'm going to let you go here in just a minute. In closing, chapter 40, the great book of Isaiah. Why did he quote from there? A student of the Word will pick right up on it. Verse 13, Isaiah chapter 40. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? You know, that's not hard to figure out for him. Ain't nobody, okay? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? You know, it's so fantastic to read the great book of Ecclesiastes that was written telling you how to be happy in the flesh body. And, you know, it teaches you real well how to find peace of mind in the flesh. And it comes from his understanding. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. I mean, those things are pretty small to him. Why? Because he created the universe. And he didn't need any advice. And this is kind of like what you want when God gives you a red-hot gift, and you are so very successful with it. You be real careful, because it's his wisdom and his gift and his freely blessing and giving that causes the fruit. Remember Passover, we covered, I am the vine, you are the branches, and God does the pruning. Okay, I mean, he can trim your limb to where you're going to produce fruit. He knows that old bad twig, snip. But anyway, God doesn't even need help or advice, okay? It amazes me when some people who don't understand, that are not linguists, will say, it says right there in 1 Corinthians 14 that, you know, that when you're speaking and I cannot help but say the correct word, speaking in a language you were not born with, God knows what you're saying, and the angels know what you're saying. But the people that speak a different language have not a clue. They don't even know when to say amen. But to think that they would say, yes, I was ministering to God, that's dangerous. That is really dangerous. Hey, I got a lot of good friends that think that, so they're still good friends, but hey, that's dangerous if you ask me. Nobody tells God what to do. He doesn't need it. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. And he continues on and he says, a rich man, he'll buy some fancy statue and worship that thing. And a poor man, if he has to, he'll whittle out a stalk. You know, and say, there's my God. You know, he's got to be religious. It seems like now, rather than whittling and all that, you'll hear these preachers will say, let's do something religious and pass the hat real quick, you know, or something of that nature. That seems to be prevalent in their mind as something religious. Don't try to tell God how to do it. He's telling you how to do it. Either line up or probably ship out. One or the other. Okay, by that I mean If you hold the church the way he tells you to, it's going to be knit together, firm, and it will grow. Or he's not in it. So, period. Okay, for the sake of time, I would recommend for home reading the rest of this, but let's get right down to the nitty-gritty. Verse 28, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." You cannot get to the bottom of it. Man could never get there. That's why his word is so precious. "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength." When you think you can't go any further, you can always make one more hill. That's the old Marine battle cry. We can cut it. We can make another hill. And most, a lot of people would drop out, you know. Well, so it is with our Father. He'll see. If you got the guts to put it out there, he'll fix you up. All right, partner? Verse 30. "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." If they'll wait to get the message from the head, you got it? If you'll be patient and let him be boss, "they shall mount up with wings of eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." You're going to be successful when you do it his way. Wait. Wait until you clearly understand from his word. And then go for it. If it doesn't work, don't be a quitter. God hates a quitter. Look it over. Figure out where you went wrong. Pray about it. Go for it again. Third time, I always call it putting out a fleece. Do your homework again. What went wrong that time? God doesn't like a quitter. Figure it all out. And then say, "Okay, Lord, here we go." And wham, you hit it again. If it doesn't work that time, you say, "Okay, Lord, I got the message." You don't want me to go that way. Three times. It works good even in life, you know. And I pray God is capable. Man can't even fathom what God can do. I think in this ministry we sure had some blessings and we get a little taste of it, but it's not even compared to the gifts that he has for man, the charisma. That's what the word gift in Greek means. So, stay under the word. Don't follow this man or any other man. Study the word of God and follow that word. And talk to your Father, okay? Well, is that prayer? That's the kind of prayer he likes. You take one of these dudes that breaks out one of these long, printed prayers and starts reading that sucker. You know, that's not real. What if your wife wrote you a long letter and said, "Honey, I'd like to talk to you. So I'm just going to give you this written prayer from this other lady or this other little boy that sent me," or something like that, and start reading it to you. Look it from the heart. That's what prayer is. Don't try to con God. Be honest with him and be open. Let him know you love him. He owns everything, and he likes to freely give. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word, Father. We thank you for being the head of the body. And we look forward to that day when it all comes together, Father, in oneness and eternity. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Ezra and Nehemiah. These two books are necessary to understand